The assigned reading for this Tuesday is Jeremiah chapter 23, 16 to 29, which just so happens to also be the epistle for this coming Sunday. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them away from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has a straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, Paul promises that it may go well with children who obey their parents. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, the Apostle John prays that all may go well with the elder to whom he is writing. In Jeremiah 23, verse 17, Jeremiah speaks of people filled with hope when they hear that it shall be well with you. So the question for this sermon is, anyone here would disagree that all these three passages from the Bible are promises that God will keep, similar to what he promises in Romans 8, 28, that all things work together for good? Is there anybody who would disagree with that? Well, as usual, I certainly disagree. See, what I did, I used a trick I learned from the devil to quote a Bible verse but leave part of it silent. Satan did that with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he did it with Jesus during the temptations in the wilderness. I used this technique at a wedding service I conducted 2 weeks ago. Prior to the wedding, in the pastor's office, I met with the groomsmen and the groom while the bridesmaid and brides were in another part of the church changing. And I decided to ask the groomsmen, what text should I use for this sermon? And they had no idea. They weren't all Lutheran, and I don't think they understood what a text was. I then suggested to them the following. What if I use this text? Wives, obey your husbands. And immediately they began to cheer, and the groom thought that was a real good one to have at the wedding. Of course, they thought I was kidding. They don't know me. I began the sermon with the text from Ephesians 5:22, which teaches that wives should obey their husbands. A lot of times the word submit is in there, but it also can be translated as obey. I then ask the question, as I do with every sermon, who here would disagree with this text? And you could see the faces of a lot of people just really confused. I'd say 3/4 of them were not Lutheran. Many of them had come because of their acquaintance with the groom or the bride, the groom I had been taking through adult instruction class. But then there was a bridesmaid who began to put up her hand. And so I looked at her directly and I said, "Oh, so you disagree with the Word of God?" Her hand went down right away. But people were confused. And that's what I try and do in every sermon, get them confused at the beginning. Because what I did is what the devil did. I left out particular parts of the passage. One of them, and a lot of people don't know this, it's not part of the regular reading. It's a verse before the regular reading. It's not that the wife is to submit to the husband only. It is also they are to submit to one another. That was one part I left out. I often also left out the part that the husband is to the wife as Christ is to the church, which means that therefore he's ready to die for his wife. And so the husband is going to use his authority to have the wife obey what color they're going to put in the front room or what rug to get. I mean, it's ridiculous. They also left out the idea that this submission of one to another is the same word that Christ uses about himself, submitting to the Father. He obeys the Father, which means that doesn't destroy any equality. Christ and the Father are equal, so also the husband and the wife. There's no distinction, male or female, Greek or Jew, slave or free. And then I only did part of the verse. I quoted, "Wives, obey your husbands." But the verse goes on, "As to the Lord, the wife obeys the husband." What does that mean? That last phrase is the wife is to obey the husband. The husband has authority in the family. He's held responsible when he's speaking the word of God. I have never used this authority on my wife of 51 years of marriage. When we had children, I didn't argue with her they should be baptized. No. Our second son needed surgery very quickly. She insisted that he be baptized before the surgery. I've never had an occasion when I had to use authority over her, because she's a faithful Christian as well as Lutheran. So this passage ought never be used to force the wife to obey that which is not clearly revealed in the Bible. I wish I had that authority to tell my wife what to do. For example, recently her car started falling apart, so she decided to get another car. And I told her she needed to get a 44 mile per gallon Toyota Prius, and she bought instead an 18 mile per gallon Honda Pilot. I looked everywhere in the Bible for the word Prius and couldn't find it. But she found the word pilot all over the place. So why am I talking about all this? We need to return to Jeremiah 23. And we need to understand that, yes, they said this is what God is saying, that everything will be well. But I left out part of the verse and its context, which changes the meaning of everything in Jeremiah 23. Here's what God says through Jeremiah. "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually," listen to this, "to those who continually despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. Now, you know, when Jeremiah was written and the problems that they were having, the Babylonian captivity was about to occur, and these people, these false prophets, we've got the temple of the Lord. There's no way God's going to allow the temple of the Lord to be destroyed. It will be well with you. And they continue to sin. This is what we as Lutherans refer to as the second use of the law, in which God accuses people of their sinful behavior. And that is really necessary. It was the work of John the Baptizer to do the second use of the law, to prepare the way for the Messiah. As people came to recognize how sinful they were, then they heard the good news of the gospel. You can be really proud and fortunate that you're members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod if you take a look at our last convention. I can't think of any resolution that wasn't adopted, that wasn't in agreement with the scripture. And contrary to a lot in society, creation versus evolution, proper marriage versus gay marriage, etc. And there are a whole bunch of them like that. That is in contrast to what Issues Etc. recently reported about the entire convention assembly of the ELCA that recently took place. A resolution was put forward that they will now go into fellowship not only with all Christians, but with all religions, such as Buddhists, Mormons, Muslims, etc. One lay delegate stood up and reminded the assembly, the Bible teaches that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Not only did the convention vote against him and adopted this resolution, but he was personally reprimanded for saying the words he said. Jeremiah reminds us that the second use of the law is really preparatory to prepare the way for the Lord. We speak of the second use of the law as a mirror, but it's also referred to as a hammer, which comes right out of Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? What rock is being broken in pieces? Every religion in the world thinks the problem is God. We want to be reconciled to God. God won't be reconciled to us. So they try and use their works to be reconciled to God. In contrast to Christianity that teaches, God's already reconciled to you. Because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. God's not the problem. We are. And we don't get reconciled to God by any works. We get reconciled to God through faith given to us by the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses the law to break apart the teachings of the false prophets. But Jeremiah is Lutheran, so he has both law and gospel. In fact, the gospel is in the very same chapter of 23. Listen what he says. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. That's Jesus. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Nobody goes to heaven unless they are seen by God as being righteous in his sight. It happened with Abraham. He believed a ridiculous promise that his aged wife would have a son. It took 25 years, by the way, named Isaac. He believed, and God declared him righteous. Christianity is the only religion in the world, if you even want to call it a religion, where one is saved through trusting promises from God rather than trusting our own works. That is why it's so important we have faithful pastors who properly divide law and gospel in each sermon and to provide you with faith and the absolution of all of your sins. Amen.